że albo
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasvaya Bhutale Srimati Ramapada Swami Iti Namine Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasvaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pashucha Deshutarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Manchakalpataribhya Shakripa Sundubhya Chat Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnebhyo Namo Namaha. So it's the verse for today's Bhagavatam class is 7:10. Text 12. Katam adya jusanana priyastvam. Avesha mam atmani shantam ekam. Sarveshu bhuteshu asi yagnam tva isham. Yayashva yogena cha karma hinvan. Kata madhya jusamanaham priyastvam. Avesha mam atmani shantam mekam. Sarveshu bhuteshu ashiya yagnam isham. Yayashva yogena cha karma himvan. Katam adya jusamanaha priyastvam. Avesha mam atmani shantam mekam. Sarveshu bhuteshu ashiya yagnam tvam isham. Yayashva yogena cha karma himvan. Please chant. Katam adya jnanam apyastvam. Avesha mam atmani shantam mekam. Sarveshu bhuteshu ashiya yagnam tvam. Yayashva yogena cha karma himvan. Tamadiya nasmasnastam. Avesha mam atmani shantam mekam. Avesha bhuteshu ashiya yagnam tvam. Katam adya manam priyastvam.
Yogena Chakarma Yogam.
So the word for word, kataha, messages or instructions, madhyaha, given by me, yasya manaha, always hearing or contemplating, priyaha, extremely pleasing, tvam, yourself, aveshya, being fully absorbed in, mam, me, atman, within the core of your heart, shantam, existing, ekam, one, the same supreme soul, sarvesha, in all, bhuteshu, living entities, adiyagnam, the enjoyer of all ritualistic ceremonies, isham, the supreme lord, yayasva, worship, yogena, by, bhakti yoga, a devotional service, cha, also, karma, fruit of activities, hinvan, giving up. So the translation of the verse is, it does not matter that you are in the material world. You should always continuously hear the instructions and messages given by me and always be absorbed in thought of me, for I am the super soul existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruitive activities and worship me. So, the starting point for looking at this particular verse, I went back to the purport of the previous verse because there was a very interesting generalization and it very much connects with this verse. Srila Prabhupada in the previous verse's purport, he points to a generalization or makes a generalization by referring to a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto, third chapter, 10th verse. And that translates to whether one desires everything or nothing, or whether he desires to merge into the existence of the Lord. He is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. So this is a generalization that Srila Prabhupada is making, and by implication, Prahlad has shown that intelligence of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this kind of intelligence, Srila Sukadev Goswami, he calls it a broader intelligence or a broader outlook. So this generalization that Srila Prabhupada is highlighting is that a person with a broader outlook, the Udara D, even with the desire for material enjoyment or the desire for liberation, should take to the worship of the Lord directly. So there's a reason for this. And that is that the Supreme Lord is the ultimate authority. So those who desire material enjoyment, the Sakama, they worship the demigods who cannot actually give results without that sanction of that ultimate authority. And for those who desire liberation, the Moksha Kama, they are awarded liberation by the Supreme Lord who absorbs them into the Brahmajyoti or the rays of his body. So again, he's the ultimate authority. So the recommendation for a person in either position, you know, whatever the desire, the one of the two desires, is to worship Lord Krishna through transcendental loving service for the reason, and it's a very interesting reason, bhakti yoga via hearing and chanting may be performed by one and all, regardless of what that inner motive is. So the motive doesn't matter. So now this is something that Srila Prabhupada constantly drums on. You know, he brings up that, you know, the number of species that exist on this planet. So, you know, out of those 8,400,000, it's interesting to note that it's very rare. So it's extremely rare that persons, that there are even persons who are conscious of the problems with, or the material problems that exist. I mean, generally people are just going, I mean, I heard this description, what was it? Oh, last night someone phoned and had a query about who were the right people to give a Bhagavad Gita to? So the person made three different phone calls. Would it be correct to give it to the bus driver of her son's bus driver? Would it be correct to give it to a neighbor who had recently had hopes of getting married, but the hopes had got smashed? And then the person, I asked the person with the, in the last example, I asked, or with the last question of whether it should be given to a neighbor in that position, you know, I asked the person, oh, well, you know, do you have a lot of interactions with this person? Because, you know, then it may give an opening to actually say a few words if you're going to give this gift of the Bhagavad Gita. And this is what the response was. And I think it was a response that you know, draws one's attention to how generally persons are not looking more broadly or looking at that there's problems in material existence. She said, well, you know how it is. One gets up, one takes one's child to school, one does one's work, and one, you know, gets all one's worries about just accomplishing those things. So, you know, one's not looking broadly. So, and going back to the rarity of even, you know, becoming conscious that there are problems in material existence, meaning, you know, the broader problems of actually having to die and take birth, you know, the huge change that's involved with that, with all the attachments to the particular form that one is existing in this world, never mind the activities that go with it. The other thing is it's even more rare to find persons who actually put value on the Bhagavatam. It's extremely rare. And the Bhagavatam has its messages about Lord Krishna and his pure devotees. So, now, Srila Prabhupada says that in general, people aren't very intelligent. And it's because of this kind of ignorance that they've been attracted to fruitive activities. You know, those activities that have like very tangible results for them. So, you know, I'm going to do this particular studying so that at the end of this, I'm going to be able to get this kind of job that's going to give me this kind of income, which will allow me to get this kind of home, which will then will allow me to educate my children in this particular school. So it's very, you know, tangible kind of things. So people are very much attracted to that. So, and they're also very much attracted to what will assist them to achieve those things. And that's given in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. So when one spends some time, serving in a temple, you see people coming to take darshan of the deities. And there's a whole variety of persons. And if one gets to speak to any of the persons, one starts to get a picture of how very much persons are attracted to Karmakanda kind of rituals, because they'll soon reveal what the motive is for coming to bring something to the deities. It's also coming with that Karmakanda mentality in many cases. So I was fairly recently, exposed to somebody again, coming to the temple, and the person was very anguished. And the solution or the anguish had something to do with somebody having exerted an influence on that person's life. Now that person was deceased, but this person still felt that connection with that person and was very distressed. There was having difficulty to break that connection. So the solution for that person, I said some things in relation to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, saying that, if one had committed any kind of sin, because surely the person was a little distressed because it was somehow having spoken to a person a little bit more closely, I could understand, and obviously it wasn't exactly right in the person's family situation. So I spoke to the person that, it wasn't necessary to endeavor extraneously to, put right some sinful activities one had performed. It was very nice she was coming to the temple. The person, very soon I learned, had a whole lot of things lined up coming from the Karmakanda section of what was going to be done. So one of those things was once a week the person was going to take a vow of silence. So this was going to be the amelioration for the problem, which was, the conversations that this person had been having. So one day of week, there was going to be silence. And then sometime later, I learned the same person was going to be performing a specific puja to get a good job. So, it all was anything that can enhance attaining those fruitive results. It's very tangible. So it's a very limited outlook. It's not the broader outlook. So so Lord Krishna puts it very nicely. These are his words. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say there is nothing more than this. So that's from the second chapter, the 43rd verse. So the bhakti process of Krishna consciousness allows for that force to gratify the senses. There's a huge force. it allows for that to be curbed because the senses get engaged in the transcendental loving service of Lord Krishna. So there has to be that understanding that it's not possible to curb the senses by one's own endeavor. It's extremely difficult. I mean, I can tell you that I have this personal example. Sometimes I have to get items that are needed, like, I make, to avoid the anxiety of having to go to a store to buy, you know, washing powder or to buy soap. I think, well, you know, if I get things in bulk, I can assemble all those ingredients and make the things myself, and then I can have 8 soaps, and, you know, I don't have to worry for a whole half year about soap or something like that. But what I discover is that when I go onto the internet to look up those things, I will get so absorbed in researching, you know, okay, this company offers this particular variety, oh, and these are the ingredients here. This company offers this particular raw ingredient, like, you know, the base, let's say, for a soap. There'll be certain ingredients, and then another company will offer some similar base but slightly different ingredients. So somebody may use organic oil, somebody may not, you know. But what I'm finding is that it's such a strong pool, getting so absorbed in this analysis. And so I'm really understanding that it's not actually possible to curb the senses by one's own endeavor. It's extremely difficult in the end way. The internet is a disaster in terms of it really doesn't help. You know, the senses can really go way out because of the internet. So anyway, so it's only possible to curb that force of the senses wanting to move their particular direction by keeping them engaged in the service of Lord Krishna. And that's what establishes one's intelligence. So the intelligence then, you know, it sort of, you know, brings the senses back. Okay, this is complete, sufficient analysis, move forward. Otherwise, one can go and go and go. So, so it's actually called steady intelligence when you have that understanding that it's actually through rendering transcendental loving service to Lord Krishna that, you know, the senses are put in place. So, yeah, so that's steady intelligence that results from having that kind of understanding. And you can find that in the second chapter, also the 69th verse, where Lord Krishna talks about that. So here Srila Prabhupada states that the devotee is never interested in the Karma Kanda or Jnana Kanda sections of the Vedas. He's simply interested in devotional service and the cultivation of spiritual activities in devotional service. So it's a shift, a complete shift in perspective. So this kind of cultivation is called Bhagavad Dharma, or the cult of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is completely distinct from fruitive activities. It's a completely separate category. So and fruitive activities are the ones that are usually associated with enjoyment. So it's a shift. And you find this kind of struggle. I mean, I'll explain a little bit, or not explain, but comment a little bit, that that shift to even remembering that it doesn't matter the person's inner motive. When a person comes to perform an activity that is on the transcendental plane, often there's still that fruitive mentality that's coming. Like, for instance, a person may come and bring some item for the deities, but then the person will want to know, is that being used? How was it used? When are you using it? You know, I've got to have control of that item still. It's still not even fully surrendered, even though it's been brought to the deities. So very difficult letting go of that, you know, result-oriented, one's own enjoyment, control aspect of any activity. So Lord Nrisingadev, he asks Prahlad Maharaj to continuously hear the instructions and messages given by him. So you can see the emphasis on continuously hearing. It's necessary. So we hear Srila Sukadev Goswami tell Maharaj Parikshit, something of the effects of this kind of hearing. These are his words, Srila Sukadev Goswami. Those who give full attention and respect to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam achieve unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord, the giver of salvation. So it's a very different result, isn't it? You're going to get faith in Lord Krishna. So, complete shift in perspective. I mean, the person with the liking for fruitive activities has to make quite a jump. So, anyway, that's in the second canto, the first chapter, 10th verse, where Srila Sukadev Goswami gives that result, says what the result is of giving that kind of attention and respect to hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the hearing creates faith, and this is interesting. It creates faith for the reasonable explanation given by the spiritual master. So generally it's the spiritual master speaking in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the hearing creates faith for the reasonable explanations that one is hearing by the spiritual master, who is conversing on the authority of the Vedas, wisdom, some wisdom that allows for the listener, and usually the listener has some sort of submissive mood, you know, wants to hear, is interested in hearing. It allows for the listener to make some inquiries. So you're getting almost a kind of model for how to hear attentively in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Spiritual master speaking, submissive listener is responding and making some inquiry. So so there's a reason that this process, you know, helps to quell something of that fruitive mentality, the result mentality, is there's a manifestation of knowledge. It's almost automatic just because of the way in which one is approaching the hearing. It means that it's dependent on the spiritual master being pleased with the inquirer. That's allowing for the manifestation of knowledge, and it's a very extraordinary thing, because it's not fully in one control. It's just based on one's own receptiveness and submissive kind of inquiry. You know, one wants to know. One is interested in knowing. One acknowledges the position of the person who's actually giving the knowledge. So, so this can be contrasted with, you know, how one might get some knowledge, like on the material level. Like, I mean, many of us, I'm sure, have studied or had to write papers or even essays, whatever. You have to do some research. You go to different books, and then, you know, you collect the information and you sort of piece it together. And so it was the research that put it together. But here, with the hearing process, it's not entirely intellectual. It's coming with all one's feelings, one's focused mind, and one's desire. So it's a much deeper kind of thing. So the interest in cultivating spiritual activities in devotional service, it rests on a belief. And that is that becoming a devotee of Lord Krishna, by doing that, one will become fully equipped with everything spiritual. There has to be that belief. So, and naturally the desire for that too. So the teaching is imparted here by Lord Nrisingadev, who calls for fruitive activities to be given up and calls for worship of himself. So that's what he's asking for. And Lord Nrisingadev gives a powerful reason for such worship via this hearing. He says, He's the super soul in everyone's heart. So via the hearing, we become elevated to a transcendental situation. So the super soul, you know, is not visible. I mean, you know, with senses. So it actually, it's the hearing that allows for the super soul to become visible. So, and the hearing is actually allowing one to enter the transcendental situation in which one can actually visibly see the Lord's form. So, and here's a description of the nature of super soul. He is without senses. This is coming from Bhagavad Gita 13:15. He's without senses. He's unattached, although he's the maintainer of all living beings. So, you can see immediately unattached, you know, very different from what we're describing or what Lord Nisringadev wants to have be put aside, that attachment to fruitive activity. So here, the emphasis on who the super soul, unattached, although he's the maintainer of all living beings. So generally, it's like this lady in the conversation, the attachment is to maintaining the child and the home. So naturally, that's a duty too, but it's the only attachment. But the super soul is maintaining all living beings, but it's not attached. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So, and then further description of the super soul. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no hands which are materially contaminated. Means, you know, it's not like grasping at things and holding on to them, this is mine. but he has hands and accepts whatever sacrifices are offered. He has no material eyes, but he has eyes, for he can see past, present, and future. He lives within the heart of the living being, and he knows what we have done in the past, what we are doing now, and what awaits us in the future. So that is actually one of the quotes that comes from Svetasvara Upanishad. Srila Prabhupada gives this quite often. there's a little bit more, just, you know, painting the whole picture of the super soul. The Bhagavad Gita 13:16. Bahir antas cha bhutanam acharam charam eva cha shukshmatvat tat avignayam durastam chantike cha tat. So the Supreme Lord exists outside and inside of all living beings, the moving and the unmoving, because he is subtle. He is beyond the powers of the material senses to see or to know. Although far away, he's also near to all. So it's many polar aspects are being put there. But it's all to emphasize that it's not in the purview of the material senses to perceive the super soul. And certainly not with a consciousness that, you know, is filled with the fruit of desires. So, to understand him requires that we purify our minds and senses. Because they don't have the power to perceive his presence. So, this is done by this practice of consciousness of him, which has come through the hearing, in devotional service to him. So one's performing some service to him. One cannot see him, but one's heard about him. One is getting some understanding, and one's performing some service to him, and then further understanding is coming. So, and this kind of practice can awaken love for Lord Krishna. So, and then it's possible much further down the line that one can see him constantly. So, and there isn't any more that kind of, it's called a kind of contamination because the senses are so much caught up with that kind of result-oriented for oneself kind of view of things. So, particularly the mind, the highest of the senses. So, in this statement, Lord Nrisimhadev ties in very perfectly with a statement by Krishna, which Srila Prabhupada states is the very essence of Bhagavad Gita. And that is mat karma krin mat paramo mat bataha sangha varjitaha nirvaraha sarva bhuteshu yasamam eti pandava. My dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contamination of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who's friendly to every living entity, certainly comes to me. So, indeed, this is a nice description of the sadhaka who's cultivating devotion in Krishna consciousness in order to enter into that transcendental realm where there's the faith can't be budged anymore. It's like so strong. And there's love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there's friendship with his devotees. So this is also accompanied by a kind of kindness to ignorant people. There's a desire to bring them also to devotional service. but there's not much interest in non-devotees. So that's a description also that, you know, you get in Nectar of Devotion for persons that are cultivating that kind of devotion to Lord Krishna through the hearing and chanting process, and who have actually come to this. I mean, this description is a little bit further along the path, because one's already, you know, got a little bit in place, everything. Because you can't really be very kind to anybody else until you understand things well yourself. So, and then there's a second category also described in Nectar of Devotion, that this category of devotee is one who's already tirelessly executing devotional service, constantly relishing transcendental mellows in relationship with Krishna. So the second category is even further. So, and you could say this is the position of Prahlad Maharaj. I mean, he certainly had Lord Nrisimha directly manifest himself. So he's certainly relishing mellows with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you can see that all the other criteria of the other category of devotees a little bit less distant from his position, that he's also met them, the one of actually being very merciful to other persons and trying to bring them to the standard of Krishna consciousness. You have him when he was a very little boy, speaking to his classmates, actually in a very difficult situation too, where there was a lot of opposition. So, and this kind of transcendental mellow that Prahlad Maharaj is obviously relishing is visible in an earlier verse we read it, where he says to Lord Nrisimhadev, "You are naturally my master and I'm naturally your servant." So full understanding. So he's I guess, thinking of Krishna as his superior and seeing himself in a subordinate position. And that's when you go into the Nectar of Devotion, which has been recommended that everybody reads from cover to cover, there is such a description of, it's in the section that deals with ecstatic love. So there's great happiness internally, great love, and it's in an ecstatic mode. It says that a devotee who has that kind of concept of inferiority of the Lord, of inferiority to the Lord, is he really takes interest in any kind of other transcendental loving humor with the Lord. So I don't know, because I'm not able to speak, you know, with knowledge of that, but this does, it's stated there in the Nectar of Devotion. So there's also an example given of a different kind of ecstatic loving relationship, which is more in a kind of neutral mode, but some of the ways of expressing that love. There's an example of a brahmana. Sometimes this brahmana would address the Lord as master, and sometimes he would joke with the Lord. Sometimes he would protect the Lord with filial affection, and sometimes he would cry out to the Lord, and sometimes he would meditate on the Lord as super soul. So moving, expressing different moods at different times in that relationship. So this is subject matter. I mean, I'm not there, so I can't speak about it, but this is what's written in the Nectar of Devotion, which is just in connection with what Lord Nrisingadev is calling for Prahlad Maharaj to do, to stay within that relationship with the super soul. So, in conclusion, one could say that this verse is pointing to the necessity to render service unto the super soul situated in one's heart by his own omnipotency. And because he's the almighty personality of Godhead and eternal and unlimited, he's also the ultimate goal of life. And by worshipping him, one can end the cause of the conditioned state of existence. This is a statement from the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.2.6. For it's a way to end the difficulties of life and the cause of our being in this conditioned state with that liking for all those fruitive activities that are so distressing. So those were some thoughts on this verse. I'm usually accustomed to spending a lot of time thinking things through, and this is much more shorter notice. So I'm not usually able to work under very tight time constraint for classes, but this was one of those. So I hope there was something that was of some use or benefit. So I don't know if anybody has a thought that might like to share, or some question that comes to mind that may be of assistance to all of us. Oh yes, that's right. I'm so sorry. So when, this is Srila Prabhupada, when a devotee becomes materially very opulent, one should not think that he is enjoying the results of his fruitive activities. A devotee in the material world uses all material opulences for the service of the Lord, because he's planning how to serve the Lord with these opulences, as advised by the Lord himself. Whatever material opulence is within his possession, he engages to expand the glories and service of the Lord. A devotee never performs any fruitive or ritualistic ceremony to enjoy the results of such karma. Rather, a devotee knows that karma khanda is meant for the less intelligent man. Narottam Das Thakur says in his Prema Bhakti Chandrika, karma khanda, jnana khanda, kevala vishera, Banda. Both karma khanda and jnana khanda, fruitive activities and speculation about the Supreme Lord, are like pots of poison. One who is attracted to Karmakanda and Gyanakanda spoils his existence as a human being. Therefore, a devotee is never interested in Karmakanda or Gyanakanda, but is simply interested in favorable service to the Lord. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam, or cultivation of spiritual activities in devotional service.
Thank you very much for the nice class, Masji. Very nice discussion. I'm wondering how we can, you're covering that section about super soul, so how we can begin to perceive and hear more and more the presence of the super soul as our devotional life progresses. Because you were saying how it's subtle. He's very subtle. Sometimes we feel that he's too subtle, but you know, we have the covering. So how are we able to tune in more?
So the question was how to perceive the super soul, because mention was made that he's extremely subtle. So in one's devotional life, how is one able to actually come to perceive him more and more?
Perceive his instruction for us.
Okay. So, qualified with perceiving his instruction. So, indeed, that is the. Because the whole emphasis here is to look to the process of hearing, so actually putting value on the messages of Lord Krishna and his devotees. So that's what Lord Nrsingadev is recommending to Prahlad Maharaj. So that is the method for coming to perceive. So hearing, and then just as one does, one makes some inquiry and comes to, remember what one has heard and allows it to sort of sink in, thinks more deeply, and this is quelling some of that general desire to find enjoyment for oneself. So it's either that one is progressing just naturally through devotional life, or it's some mercy that's coming from Krishna directly, but the more that desire for one's own enjoyment is getting quelled, the more one starts to perceive subtly. And as one is perceiving more subtly, one actually starts to see how there's an order in everything. Oh, indeed, there's somebody who's controlling things. This instruction that I'm hearing, oh, it's just the right thing at this moment in time for what I've been grappling with. Oh, yes, yes. I'm going to take this order and I'm going to act on it and put it into practice. And then through doing that, one is entering a more refined realm of existence. So that perception is a lot on applying what one is hearing. So, and particularly the things that are a little bit difficult for one, one tries to apply it and greater mercy or kindness comes, or one just moves forward more happily in one's devotional life. One doesn't get stuck in some area. So it's just getting into a more refined realm, and that is that perception that everything is in order, there is a controller, this message is coming at the right time, it's exactly what I needed, I'm going to apply this. One applies it and more, the world opens, the transcendental realm opens up a little bit more, one feels that pull of the material energies falling away. So that's how the perception goes. It's that, what's the word? It's an elevation of consciousness that's going on. One isn't being pulled so much by all the previous things in one's mind. That sort of just drops away. It's such a mystical process, but that's how it happens. It's very, it no longer exerts as much influence on one, all those fruitive desires. And so that's how the perception is coming, very gradually, with the other dropping away. And one's desire also starts to increase to, you know, move in that direction. So that's what's called that favorable devotion. You want to do it. Whereas before, you know, you dutifully do it. But then you start to want to because the transcendental realm opens up a little bit more. But that instruction is the thing that is the pivotal key from the hearing, holding onto it and applying it.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class, Maharaj. My question is a little bit out of the topic, if you don't mind.
So I'll see if I can manage it.
You was mentioning that faith comes from hearing. Also, I heard a statement that faith comes from simplicity. Would you be able to expand a little bit if there is any relation between hearing and simplicity?
Well, there's a reason that faith comes from hearing is it's a whole realm that one may not know about. So it's necessary to hear about the Supreme Lord and his activities or the activities of his very great devotees and how they handle particular situations and how they sometimes are confronted with very difficult circumstances and how their faith allows them to turn to Lord Krishna, and then some amazing arrangement is made by him that allows them to move past that problematic area. So that's why hearing creates the faith. now, if you've heard that simplicity increases faith, well, there's sort of some regulative activities that one does in devotional life, and simplicity has to do with, you know, maintaining an ordered schedule, you know, eating just the right amount, not more than one needs, or trying to arrange one's life in such a way that you've got the focus on rendering service to Lord Krishna as the prominent thing in one's life. So that's simplicity. The description of, you know, what a person who's not trying to do that is doing. Their life's very complicated. It's like, am I going to make that bus? Am I going to earn enough money? Some karmic reaction comes where suddenly, you know, a husband doesn't give as much money as he normally did, and, you know, how am I going to manage? You know, it's very complicated. But when you're actually taking shelter of these messages from the Bhagavatam and meditating on them, you're coming under the protection of the internal potency of Lord Krishna. So that protection puts one in a space that's outside of the material energy. And that's what's allowing for the simplicity. Now, one's whole life is arranged to serve Lord Krishna. So that's the simplicity. But the hearing is important to nurture and to maintain that desire to be continuing with that way of life. So,
another thought on that, if it's okay. I had another thought on that. The simplicity, you know, that when the statement was given, the simplicity, you know, that's actually the answer, because simplicity, I mean, that's a true statement, because simplicity means free from duplicity. As long as there's duplicity, or as you were mentioning, selfish desire, then you won't be able to actually hear the message. The message may be there, it may be pure, but because your consciousness is not simple, your heart is not simple, in other words, pure, then even in spite of hearing for so long or from so many different, then you're not able to actually assimilate the message. So when simplicity is there, then how do you get faith? By hearing, but in the right mood, in the right state of mind. Because just by being simple, it says you get faith, but where do you get faith? Because you're hearing from someone who has it, but because you have a purified consciousness or intellect, then you're able to actually receive that message. That's
absolutely
another thought.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Well, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.